Okay, Matthew 3 is where you're going to be turning to. I don't know if you all have heard of an older man from about the 1200s or 1100s, I can't remember. His name is St. Francis of Assisi. You may or may not have heard of him. He grew up in a very wealthy family. But God began calling him, and ultimately God called him to give all that up. And he wound up owning practically nothing in the end. He was wealthy, wound up owning nothing. And so now he was poor. And because he was able to identify with the masses of people. He had become one of them, in one sense, by giving up all of his wealth. That story is something like Jesus. He was the King of Kings, and he became a servant. He became one of us. We're going to see this today. Today we're going to look at the baptism of Jesus. We're going to see this idea today as we look. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. And so you remember last week we talked about John the Baptist, and he's baptizing for repentance. People are coming to him. He says, hey, there's a guy coming who's greater than me. I'm not worthy to take his sandals. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan. The Jordan's a river. To John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am. We're gonna kind of walk through this. We're gonna kind of do a combination today of some discussion. So I'm gonna ask you some questions. Kind of walk through what's going on here. With some preaching, and I'll actually talk for a while at different places. And so, what I want you to do is just look at verse 13. So look at the text, verse 13, and just tell me, what do you see?
Jesus came through Jordan to be baptized by John.
Okay. Jesus came to be baptized by John. Why is that important?
Jesus came to the masses.
Okay, Jesus is coming to the masses.
There's a lot of people are being baptized by John.
Okay, lots of people are being baptized by John. True. Jesus is now one of those people. Mm-hmm. He's one of many who are coming to John to be baptized. Okay? Look at verses 14 and 15. What's John do? What does he do?
He tries to stop him.
He tries to stop him. Why?
Because he thinks he should be baptized by Jesus, but not the other way around.
Yeah. Okay.
At this time, John knows Jesus, or only Jesus come to John and said, you baptize me. Or John knows Jesus here.
Obviously, he knows something here. In order for him to say what he says, he has to know something about Jesus. How much he knows of Jesus, we don't know. But somehow here, John is able to tell, this is the guy I'm preparing people for. He's been saying in verses 11 and 12, you know, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose sandals I am not worthy to unloose. He knows this guy's coming, and here he is. And so somehow he's able to tell that this is the guy that I've been telling people about. We don't know how he knows. But he knows in some way. Why do you think Jesus responds as he does? Let's back up. What does Jesus say? Put it in your words.
Because I think Jesus accept baptized John,
yeah,
because of he get a lot of righteousness.
Okay.
Full of righteousness.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says to fulfill all righteousness. So there's something Jesus is fulfilling here. But yeah, Jesus says, hey, let it be so. Why?
I think Jesus said he wanted to be baptized just so that he could give an example.
Okay.
An example of this being important.
Okay,
yeah.
He's setting an example for us. Yeah, the key word in Jesus' response, verse 15, is the word now. Let it be so for now. See, Jesus acknowledges that John is right in principle. Jesus should be the one baptizing John. And Jesus knows that. But at some other time, they would trade places. But at this particular time, for the particular purpose, why Jesus is the one who came to John. That's verse 13. Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized by John. He came for that purpose. And there's a reason for it, for now. John sees that Jesus has authority. He sees that. Jesus also sees it. He knows he has authority. And so everybody agrees on that. John agrees, Jesus agrees that Jesus has authority. And so Jesus has to let John know that it's okay. Jesus outranks John. But it's okay, John. I'll submit for now. Something like that is, when I was in the Army, I went to air assault school, which is, it's a school you go to and you rappel out of helicopters. And my instructors were non-commissioned officers, sergeants and what so on. I was a commissioned officer. I outranked them. But while I was in that school, they were my instructors. And I had to submit to them, even though I outranked them. And so I had to let it be so for now. There was a reason why, you know, the people, and I wasn't the only officer. There were lots of officers going through that school. And there's, for a time, you submit. And there's a reason why you do it. Something like that is going on here. We have two people, one of whom has a lot of authority, much more authority than the other one. But the guy with a lot of authority is going to come under the other guy for a reason. Now, John's baptism, if you go back to verse 11, we talked about this last week. His baptism is a baptism for repentance. That's what John says. I baptize for repentance. Jesus doesn't need to repent. And so he's going through something that symbolizes conversion and repentance, even though he doesn't need it. But he must be baptized. You see, Jesus is a man. He is a servant. I mean, do not think that I came to be served, but to serve, Jesus said, and to give my life as a ransom for many, in Mark 10. Jesus came to be our representative before God. Now, you and I do need repentance and conversion. And that's what baptism represents. It's a picture of our changing our lives, of our becoming and belonging to Christ. And Jesus is going to call us to be baptized. He calls all of his people to be baptized. Okay. Though he doesn't need it. If we're to follow him, he will do it too. That's what's going on here. Jesus is being baptized because Jesus is one of us, and we need it. Now, for the Son of God, this shows great humility to be willing to submit to something he really doesn't even need, for the sake of the people that he wants to save. The holy, sinless man is willing to participate in a practice that involves repentance and conversion. And he isn't doing it for him. He's doing it for us. Now, this is a really important event, the baptism of Jesus. And God sees it as an important event. And we know that because we see what happens. So just read on, look at verses 16 and 17, and tell me what happens. What happens in those verses?
God is pleased with what Jesus did.
Okay, God is very pleased. with what Jesus did. And he says so, so that people can hear it. So what do these verses show us about Jesus? Verses 16 and 17.
Jesus?
Yeah, what do they tell us about Jesus?
This event.
Yes.
This event is the value of Jesus.
The value of Jesus, okay. High value.
High value.
Right? Okay. Yeah, you see in those verses that he's the Son of God.
Mm.
God says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay, he's the Son of God. Compare that with verses 14 and 15. What do verses 14 and 15 show us about Jesus?
Jesus makes himself lower than John.
He makes himself lower than John. Did you hear that now? The Son of God just made himself lower than John. This is, I mean, Christians call this the incarnation. It's a big fancy word that means God became a man. That's what it means. And you see that in this. You see the God part in verses 16 and 17. You see the man part in verses 14 and 15. We have the divine Son of God has become one of us. That's what we have. This means God was born in a manger. I mean, try to wrap your brain around that. This means God ate bread with us. This means that God, he came as a Jew and he lived as a Jew. It means he sacrificed animals in the temple for his sin. But he didn't need to do that because he didn't have sin. But he did it anyway. This means God is baptized, even though he really doesn't need to be baptized. So behold the glory of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Behold the humility of God. Let it be so for now, for it is right to fulfill all righteousness. Behold both of those pieces of Jesus that you're seeing right here in this baptism. Hey, guys, don't ever let anyone tell you Christianity is like the other religions. You will never, ever, ever find anything like this in any other religion, period. It doesn't exist. This makes Christianity unique. It is not like the other religions. Jesus, God, came down and became one of us. That doesn't exist anywhere else. The exalted Son of God is willingly submitting to baptism. And you? Listen, if you belong to Jesus, and you have never been baptized, I think you need to start thinking about that, about being baptized. The one you follow, if you belong to Jesus, you follow Jesus. The man you follow was baptized. And the man you follow actually commands his people to get baptism, to be baptized in Matthew 28. He commands baptism for his people. represents something that has gone on in your life. Baptism does not save you. It doesn't make you... You don't go to heaven because you're baptized. You go to heaven for other reasons. Baptism is simply a picture of those other reasons. That's what it is. And that's why Jesus wants us to do it. And so if you are going to follow Jesus, you are going to get baptized at some point. If you follow Jesus, also understand this. God understands what it is like to be a man. And he understands from the inside. He was one at one time. You can't say to God, God, you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't know how hard it is being a human being and being tempted and being blah, blah, blah. You're God. You're up there. I'm down here. You can't say that to God. He does understand. He came down to join us. He sweated like you sweat. He got tired like you got tired. He was tempted as you are tempted. He got hungry as you get hungry. He went through the kinds of things that you and I go through, only without sin. You see, really, it's not God who doesn't understand what it's like to be a man. He understands better than we do. Sometimes it's we who don't understand what it is like, because we give in so easy. But Jesus didn't. He fought temptation at a much higher level than you and I will ever fight temptation. And so Jesus understands temptation. He understands pain. He understands suffering. He had nails driven through his wrists and his legs and endured the whips and the mocking and the slander and the struggle. He understands it, guys. He's been there. Talk to him. You know how it's always good to talk to somebody who's been there before? Okay. Jesus has been there before. Talk to him. He understands. I'm going to close just by doing this. I'm going to ask you to, I want you to think of an answer to this question. Here's what I'm going to do. The Son of God submitted himself to baptism. What does that say to my situation? Maybe it means God's saying to you, he's sort of poking you in the heart, saying, hey, maybe you need to get baptized. Or maybe he's saying, hey, you need to bring to me the difficulty you have, because, I understand. Think, and you can get specific on what is that difficulty. So I'm just going to give you a minute just to think about that. The Son of God submitted himself to baptism. What does that mean for my situation today? Just think what does that mean for your situation? And whatever it means for you, what I want to do, we're going to take about 1 minute now to pray. I'm going to let you pray. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud. That's up to you. About the thing that you just, God was putting on your heart. The Son of God submitted himself to baptism. What's that say to my situation? Well, it says something to your situation. I want you to pray about that now. For God to give you grace to carry out whatever it is, whatever that looks like in your situation. So I'll close this in just a minute or so. So just go ahead and pray to God on your own. Lord, we praise you that you, the eternal Son of God, understand struggle and rejection and difficulty, pain. Praise you. Thank you that we can come to you and talk openly. You receive us with mercy. Praise you. Praise you, God. Bless you. I want to pray for your presence as you came to earth and now the dwelling place of God is with man. And it is so because of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We pray by your grace, you make us a people who see this and who walk with you. That we would be a people who are willing to serve as you served, to humble ourselves as you have humbled yourself, and do so through the Holy Spirit that you give to us in our hearts. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' precious name.